It's coming up to 11:33 and joining me in the studio today, we've got the deliciously gorgeous, always looking fabulous, is Sylvia Kent. She's frowning at me now. If you want to check out Sylvia Kent on Blogspot, she's got an amazing blog. She has so many page views, it's unbelievable. She's also a writer. She's written over 10 books. I think it might be 11 books. She's doing a book on chutneys soon as well, I believe, although she says she's not going to write any more books. Also, we're joined in the studio by Elizabeth Ford or Maggie Ford or Ivy, but we're going to tell you more about that in a sec. I didn't know you had so many names. Now, thanks very much to Sylvia. So let's introduce, before we chat to Sylvia, our guest in the studio today. Her name is Elizabeth Ford, or Maggie Ford, or we'll call you Ivy today.
But I write as Maggie Ford.
Maggie Ford. So we're going to go through, we're going to talk about the books. I know that you write books set in the East End of London. Family sagas, and we'll be talking about that because I think even my mum reads your books as well because I recognise your names. You know, it's one of the things you go, oh, it's famous writer.
Famous.
And how many books, just to say, because Sylvia said it was over 32. 30. Is it over?
No, I think that's a bit over the top. I wrote about 25 or 26 books under Elizabeth Lord.
Yeah.
And now I've had six books republished.
Yeah.
Under the name Maggie Ford.
Wow.
And a new one under the name Maggie Ford.
Yeah. So it's 32.
Yeah. Yeah. Only 32. Yeah.
Sorry, I can't count.
I mean, most people say I've got a book in me. I've definitely got a book in me, and other people have lots of books.
Yeah. So, I'm your PR agent, if you think about it.
Oh yeah. I don't need I don't have an agent. No.
Sylvia is friend to all the authors because you've been involved in writing for years and years and years. And you've got Blogspot as well, haven't you?
I enjoy that, yes.
I've stood up today because I'm not tall enough to see over the top of the computer and see Ivy from where I am, so I'm going to stand up for the whole of the interview. This is what they do at other stations.
Stand up and grow good.
So what have you been... You are with the Brentwood Billericay Readers Group.
The Readers Group,
Readers Group,
which is in Billericay Library.
Yep.
And we've been going 16 years. And I'm trying to get some of them to come in to meet you, but they're all a bit shy.
Don't know why.
You're so friendly.
Yeah, I say that, and maybe not. You've got a book here, but now I haven't read any Josephine Cox. What are the books? Has she got a kind of theme to her work?
Well, she's widely read, I think. Is that so, Ivy? Josephine Cox.
Oh, yes, she is.
She's number three, I think. She sells 10 million or something.
But
I met her last week.
Are they sort of based... Are you reading that at the moment? What's it called?
In the North. That one is called Vagabonds. And I have to read it. Well, I don't have to read it, but they suggest I read it because it's part of the Essex Book Festival, which we've been running for a whole month from the 1st of March. Mm. Until now. We've got one tonight as well in Shenfield. But I go along as patron of the book festival, and I enjoy it. I like meeting authors. They're all different, so different. I'm sure Ivy will agree.
Each genre,
you know, I learn all the time at this funny old age. But, so book club, we've been doing Barbara Erskine and The Darkest Hour, which has had fantastic review. She's very nice, Essex writer, and that's a book set in 1940, and it keeps flipping back to modern times, and fascinating, you know. So we've been doing that. We've done Josephine Cox. We kicked off at with Grace and Perry. It was quite a laugh, and he wasn't dressed up in little girly clothes this time. He was dressed as a chap, but his hair was quite interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all on my web blog.
Yeah.
Have a look. So we've been all around Essex, lots of pictures on all the sites. The Brentwood Writers Circle is still going great guns in our 75th year. And Ivy will tell you a bit about that because she's on the council, so she'll tell you all about that. And we have a meeting on the 2nd of April at Bardswell Club, and that's there's a website to tell you that. And Elizabeth, Ivy's going to be talking about her latest book, which again will tell you a bit about. And the Society of Women Writers and Journalists, they're also gearing up for the writing months ahead. Everyone's getting new books out, and it really is quite exciting.
We do have to say, if she's listening out there, to Roz, who is meant to be coming in today.
Roz Green, who
is the director of the Essex Book Festival. She's
thing.
Not very well today. She was meant to be coming in, and Ivy's very kindly. Ivy's actually been in before, so it's lovely to see her again. But we just have to say, get well soon to Roz.
Oh, to Roz Green, who has attended, I think, nearly every one of these 40-odd events. So it's been a long month, but she is wonderful.
When does it actually finish? Is it finishing
about 3 days' time? We've got one tonight. We've got one in Brentwood tomorrow. There's another one at Chelmsford.
And this is the Essex Book Festival. So if you do want to check out, there is a website, and there are still some chances to meet some authors.
They're a wonderful website. And the very last one is on the 31st of March. It's Daughter of the House, and it's Rosie Thomas. And I think there might be a few tickets, because sometimes people become ill, as we've found with Roz, and then there's a spare seat. So always try. But it has been a sellout this time. And we've had everyone you can imagine. I've enjoyed it.
I used to give talks there at one time, but I get worried now about all the journey, finding me a place, and you know, getting lost or something.
Yeah, to get a chauffeur. Still very organised that. Now, if you're
with
we've got the lovely Ivy here. Now, Ivy writes under the name of Elizabeth Ford, or Maggie Ford, which is a new name, and we'll go into why that is. So tell us about, did you actually start writing your first books in the 80s?
Yes.
Hey, no, so it's quite recent.
Well,
then.
I've always written. I've written for years, you know. But it's just that I came on the scene in the most unusual circumstances, really. I've always written, fiddled about, you know. And when my daughter was 8 years old, she's 40-something now, as 8 years old, we had an armed robbery. And we were both tied up at gunpoint, etc. And my mother, when it was all over, my mother came down to see me. She said, write it out of yourself, which was the best therapy I've ever had. Didn't need any therapy otherwise. So I wrote her a couple of pages. She said, now send it off to a magazine, which I did. And they printed it. And I told them then, when they said they were going to print it, that I love writing and all that. They said, well, why don't you break into writing by writing for us? So I wrote a lot of short stories for them. Then when they went to the wall, I decided then I've got to write books, and that's how it took off.
When you get an idea for starting to write a book, because it's, I mean, it must be easier to write short stories because you can see the vision properly in your head really quickly. When you write a book, how different is it, and how difficult is it to
well,
put together?
You get an idea to start with, and before you start writing, you get other ideas coming on top of it. And you sometimes don't know where you're going to end, how it's going to change. But I just write as it comes, you know. And then other ideas begin to come in, and then I have to start thinking, how are we going to end this book? Sometimes I get the ending first. And I sort of creep up to it. So it's really a hit or miss thing, you know.
What was it like when you first saw? What was your very first book, and what did you feel like when you actually went into a shop and it was there for sale?
I can't remember what my first name and my first book was.
Because it's over 32 books you've done, so it's not.
Wasn't it The Angry Heart?
It was the one before that. The Angry. Oh no, it was The Angry Heart.
Because I interviewed you all
you
those
did.
Years ago. For a magazine.
Well, I wrote it because I enjoyed it, and I can't remember what it's about now, but there you are.
I remember Sylvia can talk about story. That poor girl, she was put upon.
She was poor.
The girl left at home. They expected her to work so hard.
That's right. And they all let her down, one thing or another, you know. But anyway, it sold. I had to go looking for an agent, obviously. And I will tell you a quick little story. When that did the rounds, I found an agent, and she sent it off to one big Macmillan. They sent it back, said they couldn't use it, but they likened me to the best of Jean Plaidy. And my head did swell.
Compliment.
But they didn't want it. And then she said, don't worry, we'll send it on to another big publisher. I won't say who they were. So they sent them to that. They came back in a week. So she said, don't worry. And she sent it on to Judy Piatkus, who took it. Now, the people that came back in a, it came back in a week. I swear they didn't even open it.
Yeah.
It went into hardback with Judy Piatkus, who now is not there anymore. Within about 3 or 4 months, guess who wanted to have take up the paperback instead of the hardback? The people that turned it down within a week.
Oh, right.
It's weird. It's very weird. Mm. And that's how I took off, you see. So I wrote to Judy Piatkus for years. Mm. And then I was always writing East End books. I suppose you can hear my accent a bit. I am an East Ender and proud of
it. You see, Sylvia is from the East End. Anybody that is of your generation has very lovely speaking voices.
Well, so we're both like from the same place, really.
We are, yes.
But it's not an East End voice. No. That isn't an East End voice.
I don't know what is.
You would think a bit, hello, Governor, how are you doing?
It's not like that.
No,
so much,
what
now?
Am I doing with my arms? What sort of doing knees up on the ground then?
Well, I'm the biggest, truest East Ender there could be, because I was born under the sound of Bow Bell.
Yes.
I was born in a place called Mother's Hospital, which is no longer there. It was bombed in the war. Yeah. And so, of course, the bells went off while I was a little baby in arms. Mm.
But you explain about Victoria Park and roads.
Oh, I've been able to talk about a lot of...
Where my mum and dad came from, you see.
Yeah. But I think I went to Victoria Park for one book, and I needed to ask somebody where the entrance was. So I asked this woman and expected, oh, it's over there, love, you know, sort of thing. And... you go around the corner. I thought, my God, what's happened to the East End?
It's
lovely. But
so you grew up in the East End. Your books, are they all sort of centred around a certain time?
Right. Some have gone right back. I've written about Oliver Cromwell.
Yep.
On two occasions. And I've written another book, which was ancient. I've written one about Paris.
Yeah.
I've never been to Paris. Well, I've been to Paris, but, you know. And so they were out of these then. And I wrote a couple of, for Judy Piatkus, a book on somewhere in the country.
Mm.
And then she sent it back. She said, we like it, but you are an East End writer.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, I've written a book now. They don't want it.
Mm.
So I went to Seven House, showed it to them. They took it.
Yeah.
So then I could write anywhere in the world after that, you see.
Now, we're going to come back and talk more about the name changes as well, Ivy.
Oh, yes.
But we're just going to do a quick couple of ads and some travel, and then we're going to be back with Ivy and with Sylvia Kent. You've had a nice cup of tea. We have Yorkshire tea. It's lovely, isn't it?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Great.
My mum loves a Yorkshire tea.
My favourite.
Yeah, they get nice and strong. No, nice and strong. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Sylvia Kent, who's here with this month's book club for March. I was about to say April, getting wrong. And we're here with Ivy, otherwise known as Elizabeth or Maggie. So it's Elizabeth Lord or Maggie Ford. So tell us the story, because you can tell this story about how your name has changed.
Right, okay. I was headhunted by Random House, and they said, did I have any out-of-print books? And I said, there are quite a few. Have I got the reversion rights? I said, oh, yes, I've got those. Mm. Right, we want to redo them. I said, can you do that? She said, oh, yes, no trouble. The only thing is we have to change the cover, change the title, and we'll have to change your name.
Mm.
Well, I don't mind. I was going to get paid for the books that had already been done. So we came up with the name of Maggie after a dozen other ideas. And I said, but I want to keep the name of Lord. It's the name I was born with. Mm. Okay. So she said, okay. So then she phoned me from the States. She was with the publishers. And she said, I'm ever so sorry, she said, but they don't like the name of Lord. They can tote guns all around the country, of course, but she said, they don't like the name of Lord, and they need to change it. It sounds like it's got religious connotations. Yeah. I said, oh, dear. Anyway, she said, we went through a lot of things. She said, how about, and I was getting cross because I liked my name and it could last, but I was getting hot under the collar. I mean, it's a long distance phone call. And she said, look, how about changing the L to an F? And I thought, the way I feel, that's appropriate. So sorry about the rudeness, but there you are. That's how I felt. But I kept my cool and said, yes, that will do. So I became Maggie Ford.
And you've got a brand new book out.
A brand new, yes. They asked me to write it in 2014, the anniversary of the thing. But time they fiddled and messed about, it came out in February of this year. Because they needed to, well, they need a lot of research and all that. It came out this year. And they phoned me up, or wrote to me actually, to say, we're ever so excited. She said, the first week your book went on sale, it hit number 33 on the sales chart.
Yeah.
I've never been number 33 on any chart, you know. So it sold really, really well, and it's still selling well.
And what's the book called?
Called A Girl in Wartime.
And tell us, and tell us, what is this on the Second World War or First World War?
The First World War.
Yep.
And it deals with the EastEnders in the war, with the Zeppelins and the planes and all that. And, of course, the front, the Somme and all that. There's three brothers. Two are volunteer straight away. And the third one, because he's got a chaplain who... peace and thou shalt not kill and all that, it becomes a conscientious objector.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you how he decides to end up in the Red Cross.
Yeah.
But it's because he loses his temper and he realises that human beings do lose their temper and could kill their... He didn't kill anyone, but could kill their fellow man.
Yeah.
You know, but... and it's to do with the family.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and a young girl who falls in love and with the editor of a newspaper.
I was going to say,
and what happens to her.
When you think about your generation, because it's my mum's generation as well, and living through the Second World War, my mum's still frightened now if it's the thunder and lightning, she said, because it reminds her of the when the planes went over, and then it went quiet, she said, and then you knew that it was going, because my mum's from Ilford.
Oh, yes.
And she lost a brother, my dad lost a brother, and you forget that so many families were, you know.
One thing I do remember, we had the doodlebugs. And then we had the V2s, and the doodlebugs were frightening, you know. But on one occasion, I was on my way getting ready for work, and I had a cup of tea in my hand, and butter was rationed, obviously.
Yeah.
And I said to my mother, "Do you know, I prefer the VE2s to the VE1s." I said, "They go off, and that's the end of it, you know." And all of a sudden, one went off and went, "Oh," with that tea, and it all landed in her butt. Mum. And my mother looked down and she said, "That was a week's ration." Funny things do happen.
Yeah. It just shows you, though, with all that rationing. But your generation, to be honest, like my mum's generation, our generation are all fat and useless. But the older generation, because they had wartime rationing. You're all fit and running around all over the place.
Some are, I suppose they are,
Early training, you know, really.
You could, only if you dealt with a war, you could deal with anything.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, you're both very sprightly, in fact, glamorous in the studio. So what's the plan now? Are you going to be writing after this one? Are you taking a bit of a break, or have you got your new idea?
Well,
new book in your head?
I started a new book when they asked me to write this one about the First World War, and I left it, and I got bogged down. I couldn't think how I was going to finish it or anything. And then when this came out, she said, are you writing a new book? And I couldn't get on with the other one. And I've written about 30 chapters so far, but I couldn't do the rest. And as she's talking to me, ideas came into my head, so I'm going to finish off that book.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to call it, but we'll find a way, you know.
Well, can I just interrupt and say, a certain Ruth Rendell loved your writing.
Oh, she was wonderful.
You nearly forgot that.
Yes, the first book that ever came out, I went to listen to Ruth Rendell, and if we'd all been writers, they'd have mugged her, you know, but these were all business women, so I mugged her on my own.
Yeah,
a little mugger I am. And I said, "Can I have a word with you?" She said, "Oh, of course you can, my dear." And she was very, you know. And when I told her what I'd done, and the first book was, because I was so excited, "Oh, my dear, how clever. She said, who's going to print it? And I said, my first publisher. Oh, she said, what's my first publisher's name? I forgot.
The lady.
Yeah, never mind. Doesn't matter. I mentioned her once.
Piatkus.
Yeah. I said, I know Judy Piatkus. She said, she said, she's very, very particular. Mm. You're very lucky. And I sat with her all evening, and we had a wonderful time, and we used to correspond. Mm. And of course, I phoned her on one occasion, and her husband phoned up. He said, Ruth, she's down the short corner shop. Mm. And I thought, how funny, a big writer like her down the corner shop. She came back and she phoned me back.
Yeah.
And it was lovely, you know. But
she enjoyed your work. And
she did.
That links in with your ideas for the current book as well.
Yes, so she does bits on the front for me, used to, you know, when I was Elizabeth Lord, which I'm no longer Elizabeth Lord.
No.
She's died a natural death.
Yes. It's now Maggie.
Maggie Ford.
Now, if you do want to find out more, you can actually go to the website, which is fantasticfiction.com, and you can find out more details there, and there'll be a list of books, obviously, on Amazon as well.
I'm on Amazon.
Yeah, and if you want more details on Sylvia, it's sylviakent.blogspot.co.uk. I can't get my words out today. Well, you're so complicated with the blogspot one. Yeah. So if you do want to get hold of any of the books, as you know, Ivy has written over 32 books, and it is Maggie Ford that you'll be looking for. And the new book is called again?
A Girl in Wartime.
It's lovely to meet you both. I know Sylvia only too well, but it's lovely. Hopefully you'll come back in and see us again soon.
Love to.
Thanks very much for coming
in. We must say Hope Ros Green gets better because she's
somehow. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And don't overdo it, Ros. It's all that work you've been doing that's
overdoing it.
Yes.